Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this evening. Amen. So each Sunday throughout 2023, I'm going through the bigger story of the Bible, as many of you already know. However, because there are only 52 weeks in a year, and the Bible is a pretty big book, I don't get to cover everything that I'd like to. So during these Wednesday night Lenten services, I am going to focus on an area that I'm really going to have to skip out on throughout most of the year, which are God's prophets. Specifically, why did God send the prophets? What were the issues that mattered most to him? And how does God apply these words to our lives today? Tonight, I'm focusing on the prophet Amos. Amos was sent to the northern kingdom after the kingdom of Israel was split in the north and south. And through Amos, God called his people to confess how their overindulgence was causing others in society to not have enough. When the Israelites entered the promised land, God gave them victory over their enemies, but now God had a different dilemma because the enemies of God's people were God's people themselves. Those who were wealthy and powerful were abusing and mistreating their fellow Israelites who were not as well off. The Israelites were depriving the poor of justice in court. Those in charge were forcing those with little money or power to give them grain or to give them land so that the people in power could build mansions for themselves. God not only wanted justice for the poor for being treated so poorly, but also threatens to punish and bring justice to those who have done such evil. There's a famous line in Amos that says, "Let justice roll down like a river, righteousness like a never-ending stream." But today, does God care about how we treat the poor? And how do we help those who are less fortunate than we might be? Now, perhaps you stop at a corner in Des Moines, give someone with a sign some money or some food. Maybe you volunteer at a soup kitchen even. Our church gives presents to needy families at Christmas time. Is that all that we're called to do? Is God comfortable with the conditions that people live in the world, even in our country, even in our county? Do we even notice these problems anymore? Most of the time, the systems in our society that perpetuate poverty continue to exist without us really even thinking twice about it. There's a book that I really enjoy called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. It's talking about stress. And the guy named Robert Sapolsky gives some great advice about how to live a long, stress-free life where you can always be happy. He says, whatever you do, make sure you are not born poor. It's meant to be a little ironic, of course, because obviously you can't control the situation that you're born into, and yet it can affect your life immensely, for good or for bad. So then how does God want us to deal with this injustice? Oh, well, tough luck. Thank God I'm not born poor. Is that enough? So often we act like there's nothing we can do about it, or that we can't do enough about it to really make a difference, so we don't do anything. But honestly, that's not really the problem. The problem is our guilt and our comfort. If something changes, we might find out that we were the bad guys somehow, or if something changes, our really good situation might also change, and that would make us feel bad, might make us suffer. We don't want to do that. You know, there are two problems, two problems that God, through the prophet Isaiah, tells us about how we treat the poor. First, we don't notice them. Second, we take advantage of them for our own benefit. God spoke to the prophet Amos and said, "Hear this, you who trample the needy." What does it mean to trample the poor? I thought I'd give you an example. Last October in Malaysia, after a soccer game, 129 people died. They were killed. They were trampled as they were running away from some kind of problem. The police were trying to find out who had done the wrong thing, and everyone just started running. And then they started running over people, and people died. Now, the people who killed these victims, 129 victims, they probably didn't mean to do anything wrong. They were just at a soccer game. They just didn't notice who they were stepping on. They didn't take the time to notice what in the world they were doing. They were just scared. Just like us, we don't notice people in need most of the time. But the second problem is much more insidious. We often take advantage of the poor, or we see the poor being taken advantage of. In Turkey recently, 41,000 people died after a series of powerful earthquakes. Now, you might think, well, that's an act of God. Nobody can control something like that. But investigators, if you read up on this, have learned that people died because the buildings that they were living in weren't up to code. They weren't up to the safety regulations, or nobody enforced the safety regulations. And why didn't they do that? Well, the people constructing the buildings didn't want to spend extra money, and the people that were supposed to enforce it probably getting paid off. That's why. It's unjust to have some people getting rich off of other people's at least insecurity, or now their death and misery. But this happens all the time, not just in foreign countries, in our country too. How many of you like to buy nice clothes? How many of you like to spend an arm and a leg for it? Probably not. How do we get cheap clothes? Well, manufacturers want to make the cheapest clothes possible, so they go around the world and they look for who's going to work for the least amount of money. And guess who they find? People in the deepest poverty. And they say, "Will you work for this pittance?" And they will. And we get the benefits and they lose out. And most of the time, we don't even know, we don't care to know, or we just think nothing about it because we really like cheap clothes. God criticized the Israelites, saying that they were buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, selling even the sweepings with the wheat. Could people in our society be criticized for this same kind of thing? Selling products that were lower quality to make a profit, or selling things that could hurt somebody just to make money? In 2009, Pfizer paid $2.3 billion for the unlawful promotion of painkillers, opioids, that caused people to become addicted. And that crisis has affected millions. In 2019, Purdue Pharma paid $12 billion in fines for the same issue. Drug overdoses kill more than 100,000 people in the U.S. every year. However, these companies made a lot of money. And I'll tell you what, it was worth it to pay that $12 billion fine, because they made a lot more money than that. It's a good deal for them, except when it comes to the value of human life. So Lent is a time for us, we can point the finger at everybody else, but Lent is a time for us to confess our sins and try to do better in the future. What can we do about these issues of social justice? Well, we can confess that we often turn a blind eye to these issues and problems. We can change our personal behaviors. Some of the people in charge of doing this bad stuff, they might have been at church along the way. What would you do if you were in power? What would you do when a situation like this comes out and you have to deal with it? Would you choose to think of what the poor are going through, or would you just try to make money? We can call out evil when we see it, no matter what the consequences to our personal, to us personally. And finally, we can work for institutional change so that justice is given to those most afflicted. God told the Israelites that if they didn't listen to him, if they didn't repent, their punishment would be a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. What does that mean? Well, God's simply saying this: without acknowledging their sin, without turning away from their sin, without a desire for repentance, there would be no forgiveness. There would be no salvation, and there would be no hope. These issues are certainly huge. They often feel impossible to deal with, to make a difference. But we can do what we can do. We can confess our sins. We can point out the reality of the situation around us and commit ourselves to following God's call to do good, even in an evil world. Yes, we overlook social injustice. And yes, we sometimes use it for our own advantage. And yes, we often don't call it out, even when we see it. But there will not be a famine of the world, of the word, a famine of the word tonight. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive your sins. He sent Jesus to die on the cross because he knew that his people would sin and would overlook the poor. And because we confess to God our mistakes and our faults, I can declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, what might God do with us? Now that our eyes are open, how might he use us to make a difference in the world? For those who are less fortunate to us, to those who are poor. Amen.